I'm Jason Klom, and this is the Comedy on Vinyl podcast. The year is 2003. The artist, the Avenue Q cast. The soundtrack is, the album is the Avenue Q soundtrack. And my guest this week, returning guest, Simon Chong.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here again.
No problem. Thank you for having me on again.
I love that you had something, and that you also picked a thing that, in case anybody's worried, it was released on vinyl last year.
Yes.
So they had a fun little re-release. We're gonna have to get deep into it because we're gonna talk about number one, when you first heard it, why you love it so much, and then I might challenge you on a couple songs, and I'm not gonna judge you on them, because the thing is, I always have loved this, and then I've re-listened to it with a new ear, and I'm like, I wonder how I feel about this now. So I want to talk.
Okay.
I want to talk because there's some, you know, it's fun. But in case people don't know, it's a dirty puppet show. You know, it's Sesame Street, but you know.
Filthy.
Now what's a Sesame Street in England? Because every other country's got, is it only by language, or is there a different Sesame Street in England? No,
it's the
same exact one.
Same.
I'd figured it was like, if the language translates, you're good to go.
I don't recall it being on TV as much as it
okay.
probably was here.
Sure,
because
sure,
like the Muppets for sure.
Yeah.
But Sesame Street, I don't recall it always being readily available
okay.
to watch.
Makes sense.
But I knew about it.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, and I mean, the Muppets, you had to, because, I mean, they recorded the Muppet Show over there,
yeah.
You know, I mean, the Creature Workshop was there for, it probably still is, I would guess.
I would assume so. Let's say yes.
Yes, we'll say yes. So, for those who don't know, Simon's been on the show before. You got on Bob's Burgers in a very special way. You conned your way onto a TV show. Kidding.
Did.
Kidding.
But I did. And somehow I'm still there.
And what are you doing now, though? Can you tell the people at home what you're
yes,
doing now?
Yes, I can. Yeah, so I started on the show as a storyboard artist.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was promoted to assistant director.
Uh-huh.
And just last week, I was promoted again to the retakes director
now
on
that
the
is,
show.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And explain it to me.
So retakes director essentially is the episode has been animated
mm-hmm.
And storyboarded and directed by someone. It comes back in its first complete color form.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sit down with a team of people and we go through it, look for animation mistakes.
Okay.
Cut jokes, add songs.
Wow.
And basically make sure that the episode is ready for air.
That's a lot, though.
It is a lot. It's a process.
Did we talk before about, again, we don't have to get into any specifics that you're not allowed to talk about, but like the turnaround.
9 months for each episode.
Okay, so it's, okay, so you do have a little bit of time to be like, hey, entirely new song.
Yes, yes. It's not,
it's crazy,
not much.
Right.
But sometimes it just makes or breaks
yeah.
an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like two of the biggest songs on the show, I think, were added in last minute. Bad Stuff Happens in the Bathroom.
Oh,
was not
God.
In there initially, and that was added in right at the end.
It's probably my favorite song.
Yeah, great. It's a great one.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, it was added right at the end.
I want, there's at some point I'm going to need to talk at somebody about on that show about how you make, can H. John Benjamin sing? I can't tell, because I can't tell if it's very good auto-tuning or if they pick the right keys.
For I'll me. Never tell you.
Yeah, it's fine. None of your, that, you don't have to tell me. I'll
what I will tell you
yeah,
is that we get so used to hearing temp audio.
Yeah.
That the guy who does the temp audio, he's a phenomenal singer. And
uh-huh.
it's his beautiful voice.
Uh-huh.
But it sounds nothing like Bob or any
love
of them.
It
so
much.
And that's what we're drawing to. And then when the actual voice comes in, we're always a bit like,
that's so fucking funny.
But
that's amazing.
Yeah, no, they can all sing.
And you animate Muppets. I mean, basically, so the characters on Bob's Burgers... Which,
they are Muppets.
It took me so long before somebody said, they don't have teeth. I'm like, I'm an ass. How did I not...
They don't have teeth.
They don't have teeth.
Also, generally,
mm-hmm.
they don't look with their pupils. We move their head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're always looking straight forward.
That's just so...
I know.
You feel like an asshole.
I didn't know either until they told me. And they're like, they're Muppets. And then I look at them and go, of course they are.
Of course,
they're Muppets.
Right.
If you were to like lay them down, their uh-huh. mouth would like flap open.
Yeah,
and just
yeah,
go,
yeah.
Ah.
So appropriately, we're talking about a puppet musical. Now,
yes.
have you seen it?
Live? Oh my goodness. I've seen the show, I think, 17 times.
Holy shit.
Yes.
All overseas or over in New York?
I've seen it twice in this country.
Okay.
And every other time was in the UK.
Okay. Where'd you see it here? In New York or elsewhere?
LA.
Okay. LA.
Yeah,
wait, where the fuck did they do it here?
They're both,
I'm an idiot.
Since I moved here, they've both been small productions.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't a tour or anything.
But it was important
like,
to you to go see this thing.
Oh my God, yes.
You love it so much.
I love it. It is
okay.
truly one of my favorite shows.
All right. See, we got to talk about it because, I mean, I love the music, but I've never seen the show.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we could go down the list, or we could just start with, like, do you have a favorite track that we should, like, concentrate on first?
Truly, the whole soundtrack to me is wonderful.
That's fine. That is a legitimate answer.
Yes.
Here, we'll just get the one out of the way that makes me uncomfortable, is everyone's a little bit racist.
Okay.
That makes me so uncomfortable.
Does it?
Yes, because the Asian lady.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure she's usually played by an actual Asian actress.
She is.
It seems like that's a thing.
She is.
So she's co-signing a lot of things that are happening.
Yes. Funny enough, that's the song that got me into the show.
It is? Okay, hit me.
Gosh, I'm trying to think how long ago this was.
Mm-hmm.
The show, I believe, had already started in America.
Yeah.
And early YouTube days, you know, when videos were uploaded with the stupid videos that made no sense, but they were managed to spread because there wasn't much content online. Someone did a video with World of Warcraft and had... Everyone's a little bit racist, and did a video of in-game footage to that, and I heard it, and I had no idea it was Avenue Q.
Yeah.
But, you know, how old was I been? 19-year-old me thought that was the shit.
Sure.
That was hilarious.
Right.
Right? And then I just fell down the rabbit hole. I was like, where's this song come from?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized it was a show, and then I started listening to the soundtrack, and I just loved it all. But I can see what you mean about
I'm
that
not
song
asking,
at this point.
I am not I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
No.
It's just the thing that occurred to me first, because I do love...
Yes.
I mean, it's a good song also.
Yeah.
It just makes me so uncomfortable.
Of course. But that's the point of a lot of the show.
I know.
Holding up that big old mirror to everyone.
I know.
Yes.
I'm fully willing to admit that we all have these... I just hit my microphone. These things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to deny that I have things, that I'm a human. But it just makes me really
angry. I can totally see why.
You get it?
I can totally see why.
I'm not judging you for liking it, because I love this whole thing, too.
One of the lines from it, ethnic jokes may be uncouth, but you laugh because they're based on truth.
Right.
Every time I've seen the show, I can see around the audience, and people are like, oh.
Right. I mean, and again, and I get, and see, this reaction that you get is pure. I hit my mic again. I'm so excited.
Good Lord.
I'm such a fucking professional. I've been trying, you know, my favorite song is My Girlfriend Who Lives in Canada.
Brilliant.
For a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one character is, of course, in denial about who he is.
Yes.
And I don't know what that puppet looks like, but I have always pictured...
Okay, tell me. I want to see this.
What's his name from Rent? I've always pictured... oh my God, my brain is just completely just shut off. The fucking star of Rent.
I don't know
who
the
is.
Oh, Rent.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, I was going to call this puppet Rent, because that's what it makes me think of, just because it is all these people gathered on a block and just being buddies, but they're puppets and... None of them have AIDS, I don't think. Do any of them have AIDS?
No
AIDS puppets. That's
good.
But it does remind me of Andrew. Rap. Anthony Rapp. Sorry, that's what I picture in my head because of the high pitched voice.
Okay.
So I picture what's the puppet look like? What does he look like?
He's blue.
He's blue. Okay.
He is dressed in a suit.
Okay.
Very business.
Okay.
He is. Oh, what? I think he's a lawyer.
Okay. Okay.
He's a Republican.
Uh huh.
And his journey through the show is wonderful.
Yeah.
Which
I only get part of through the songs, obviously.
Yes, I mean, you're going to get part of it, but it is... He has a full transition throughout the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can spoil the show at this point.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
so old. Yeah, he has this wonderful story where at the beginning, you know, he's closeted. You know immediately, like, you're told immediately that he's gay. And he just has this great journey of... He's in love with his housemate, but can't tell anybody. He tries to seek advice, but because he's a Republican, everyone tells him to, like... He talks about, like, his friend, like, oh, my friend's gay. He's like, well, he should stay in the closet. He's good for nothing, you know? And then they have this wonderful transition where he accepts himself. Makes me cry. Like, I didn't think the show could make me cry the way that it does. And then has a wonderful coming out moment at the end, and it's great.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
See, that's good. This is the stuff that's kind of missing, because the songs are all pretty arch.
Yes.
They're not... all the most sincere things in the world.
No, they aren't. But there's some songs in there which I think are just like... I've used two of the songs, true things that have gone on in my life that really help.
Okay.
Like the lyrics. One of them is A Fine, Fine Line.
Yeah.
The lyrics to that song are the most accurate sort of representation of unrequited love I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's devastating, but so accurate.
Yeah, they're good, because the thing is, this is written by two dudes. I don't know if either of them are gay.
Jeff Marks is gay.
He is gay. Okay, so they are written by two dudes who, you know, and I'm always like, I'll take a step back if two dudes wrote it. It doesn't matter. Like, I will just take a second. But there's no, like, sense of ownership in that song where, like, oh, I deserve to have this. It's just like, doesn't it fucking suck that they don't?
Do you know who the other writer of it is?
No, I don't know any about them.
Okay, so...
Other than the fact that they worked on Book of Mormon.
Yes, Book of Mormon, yes. Mm-hmm. So Bobby Lopez.
Yes, right.
He wrote the songs in Frozen with mm-hmm. his wife. So he's obviously very, very musically trained, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Phenomenal writer. And then Jeff Marks, the other writer of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a phenomenal talent.
Right.
Yeah.
I just will point out that my best friend did have a girlfriend who lived in Canada, and it turned out to be true. She came here.
Oh!
It was always the thing, because that's the thing.
That's the joke. This,
yes, it is. Now, I did... Is that a thing over there? Do you have a... I've got a French girlfriend, or I've got a French boyfriend. I've got a whatever. Is that a thing?
No.
Huh.
No.
There's no, like, let me pretend I've got a...
And
a,
if there is, I don't... I don't know. I don't know about it, but maybe there's someone screaming at it right now. I know the reference. Like,
sure.
I got the joke, but I don't think there's an equivalent.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. The other song though that I think is fantastic and helps me through the time is the last song in the show, which mm-hmm. is "Everything in Life Is Only for Now."
Yes.
Because it also is incredibly accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing a summer camp in America when I was 20. I was 20.
Uh-huh.
And I hated it. It was the worst time of my life.
I bet.
Disgusting. And I listen to that song every single day. It's like, everything in life is only for now. Don't stress, relax,
mm-hmm.
let life roll off your back.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh yes, this is gonna make. And then I got through that whole experience with that song.
Oh my god, I love that. I love those like I've got a few soundtracks or a few like bits and pieces of mm-hmm. songs that are like they just fucking resonate for some reason.
Yeah,
and I love that you've got these that actually stick with you. I'm trying to think. I've always really liked mixtape because
mixtape's great. I feel like it's really funny.
Every relationship I've ever been into. It just feels that way.
It's fun. Because I've seen this show so many times, mm-hmm. and so many bits of it change over the years.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in that last song, "Everything Life's Only for Now,"
mm-hmm.
The joke initially was George Bush.
Oh yeah,
changed to swine flu. It changed to now Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But mixtape changed to talking about a CD.
Okay, sure.
And then now, like a Spotify playlist.
That's like, fucking funny.
It's like been updated over the years.
Wow, I didn't know they did that.
That's, yeah,
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah,
and it's appropriate that they did. Yeah, if this show is, well, okay, so the soundtrack came out 2003, so that soundtrack's at least 16 fucking years old,
which is crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you discovered it pretty young. So, how early did after you saw it on YouTube? How early did you get to actually? How old were you when you saw it?
I was very soon after that.
Yeah.
So, I saw it. Saw the video was 19. I think I saw it when I was 20. It was its first week in London.
Oh wow! Holy shit!
And I went down and I saw it, and the show probably also helped me get to where I am now. In that I was in university studying computer animation, and I needed to do a final project,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know what I was going to do for it at all. So I took the song Schadenfreude from mm-hmm. the show, which is a song all about Schadenfreude,
mm-hmm.
and I animated a video to it. And uh-huh. that was my final year project, but also my first sort of taste of getting into doing silly animated videos on the internet, which obviously ultimately led to me getting my job on Bob's Burgers.
Right.
But off the back of that, Jeff Marks, one of the writers of the show, he saw the video and got in touch with me and said he really, really liked it. And
that's insane.
We've remained in touch. And I went to the last performance of it in London as his guest.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
That was really, Jesus really
Christ.
Cool.
I would say you're lucky, except there's too much talent behind it. So I'm gonna give you a pass on the luck thing. And wait, did I just say talent? I hate that word. Skill. I'm so sorry.
Oh, God, I know
talent. Way. I hate talent.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
It is a thing that actors and other people use to make themselves feel like God gave them this huge gift when it's like, I worked really hard. Why deny yourself that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But funnily enough, I can't watch that video now.
Really?
It's so disgusting. Like, it's literally my first attempt at a proper sort of animated video.
What did you animate, though? Did you animate something looking like the stage show or something else entirely?
I guess they looked like they were just two characters.
Okay.
And they just look like frogs. I don't even know what the design I was thinking of. I just they've got arms and legs, and they're standing up and they're walking around. They're both the same model, except one's purple and one's green.
Okay,
and it's just shit. It's really shit. I'm not I'm not proud of it at all. I mean, it got me through university, and then, you know, Jeff Marks really liked it.
Well, what did he like about it? It can't be that
shit. He just loved it. I mean, but like, I don't know if this was just because it was at the time, again, when YouTube was early on, sure, and like any old shit got pretty big. Like, if you look back at some of the videos that were huge, they wouldn't stand a chance against what's on the internet now.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was that. I have no idea. I'm incredibly grateful that he liked it, and it really spurred me on to start making the other stuff, like my South Park Book of Mormon crossover.
Oh, yeah.
It just, without that, I don't know that I would have carried on as much as I did.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
The show just is a huge part of my life.
Damn it. That's insane to me. And you saw it, okay, so you saw it 15, wait, how many times
like
over 15 there?
15 times in the UK. I know.
Well, the on like the West End or other parts? Like
West
smaller?
End. It moved around a little to different theatres, but it was always on the West End.
Okay.
But the funny thing about Avenue Q is, and I don't know if it's the same here,
because
I've only seen like small productions of it, but in the UK it was always a cheap show to go and see.
Okay.
Like, you can go and spend hundreds and hundreds of pounds going to watch
like
whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But even the most expensive ticket in Avenue Q was like £50, which is about $75.
That's
not bad. Not bad. For and then real, for the cheapest tickets, it was £20.
Wow.
And the theatre wasn't huge, so even if you were sitting right at the back, you had a great view.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, why wouldn't I just go watch it?
Yeah.
I live 20 minutes away from the theatre.
So good.
Boop. Boop. Why not?
That's amazing.
It was. I don't know if I just saw it at the right time in my life. I think I did.
I mean, 19's a really good age to see something that's so about growing up and accepting that shit.
Exactly, because Princeton, the main character, he's like 22, turning 23.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I was, you know, not that age quite, but just finishing university, leaving, going into the big city, and then. Now, I listen to it, you've got Brian, who is the older character, who was 32, turning 33, and now I'm 33.
Yeah.
So, like, I've transitioned through all those characters' lives, and now it's just resonated with me so much.
Well, and I think that's one of the things, too, where, like, I didn't hear it early enough. The 30-year-old was always who I was, unfortunately, identifying with. I was in my late 20s.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, instead of, you know, a BA in English, it's film. And, you know, it's just a giant fucking waste of a degree.
What do you do with it?
What do you do? Yeah. And it is so... There's no doubt every song on here is pretty. Like, they're all so beautifully composed.
Yes.
And just to be about such heartbreaking things left and right, except for, like, the one about porn, which is also very funny and pretty, but it's so dumb. I love it.
I have just realized that World of Warcraft video was not Everyone's a Little Bit Racist. It was Internet's Porn.
Really?
I think there was two.
Oh, my God.
But the one that actually got me into it was the Internet's for Porn. Now I remember it all. That song is also genius.
Yes. Yeah, of course it is. Is that character, does he basically look like a big... He's a monster puppet,
yes.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Oh, right. Because they're treated like a race, right? There's something monster, blah, blah, monster.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
You've got the pup, which... starts to lose some sense a little bit, but like, because Princeton is a puppet, but
yes,
human,
okay.
But then you also actually have human characters, Christmas Eve, who is the Asian lady, and Brian, they're both humans, with Gary Coleman, and
it's such a stupid,
and then Trekkie Monster is a giant brown furry monster, kind of Cookie Monster-esque,
yeah,
but yeah, he's treated. As a race, it's unusual.
I'm now realizing. Wait, and Gary Coleman's an okay reference over there. I'm just you.
So
guys,
so no, he was
know.
He was
okay.
But in America, he's always played by a woman.
Yes.
But in the UK, it was a guy.
Okay.
I think it being a woman was like one step too far for the UK. To be like,
okay.
Who is this meant to be? We don't get the joke that much.
Right. Okay.
So he was always played by a guy in the UK.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So when I came here and I saw it for the first time, the woman was like, finally I'm getting to see it.
Yeah. The way
it was intended.
That's so fucking funny to me.
And we changed a lot of lines as well.
To
be more British.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single difference right now. Oh, in Everyone's a Little Bit Racist. Instead of referencing Polish people, we reference French people.
Sure, of course.
There you go.
That's harmless.
That's what we do, sure. British people,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
I feel like everybody does that, though. The poor French people. They gave us a statue. Why are we so mean to them?
I don't know.
We gave them that big pointy shit. So, I mean, we traded nice things. What is with
We're all friends here. Come
I
on.
I don't get it. Whatever. the poor French. Fuck, I... don't know what my next question was. I'm an idiot. I'm a great interviewer, obviously. This is I was meant to do
fine.
This. God damn it. You know, and actually Schadenfreude is a really great song.
Schadenfreude is fantastic.
Oh man, it is another one of those where I'm like, I know it's a real thing, but I'm like, I'm not as mean as they are, am I? Like, you yet again. That's fine. That's what it's supposed to do.
And I can spell the word now because of the song. Like, sure. I've listened to it so many times. I hadn't heard the word before I saw the show, and then now I have complete context of what it all means.
Let's see. Boy, oh boy. So is there a character you love the most?
Nikki. Mm-hmm. Nikki is... Nikki and Rod are basically Bert and Ernie.
Right.
Yeah. And Nikki is just always trying to do his best.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows his roommate is gay.
Yeah.
But, and he's trying to get him to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's actually one of my favorite songs.
If You Were Gay is a fantastic song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I just really love all of their scenes together. They're so touching and so heartwarming. And
yeah.
I just, His attitude is just like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, be gay.
Yeah.
It's fine. Just
yeah.
Get it.
Yes. He's just a wonderful character. I really like him.
Does he end up homeless at some point?
He does end up homeless.
Because he is in one of the songs. I'm like, what is that plot point that I don't know?
Okay, so the plot point there is the two characters, Brian and Christmas Eve, they get married.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a whole little fun wedding on stage. It's mm-hmm. it's so adorable.
Love it.
And it's a moment where all the characters, like their stories, have that moment where everyone kind of argues a little bit. So mm-hmm. Princeton and Kate Monster, who were sort of dating throughout the show,
mm-hmm.
they break up at that point because Princeton wants to go and find his purpose, which is another great song
oh, yeah,
on the show.
Right. Yep.
And Nikki is speaking to everyone and saying, "Do you think Rod's gay?" And they're all saying, "Like, yeah, I think he's gay." And that and writers, Nikki. Rod walks into the room, Nikki's like, "Yeah, I think he's gay," and he's furious because mm-hmm. you know his secret has been outed, and he doesn't accept it, and they get furious, and Rod gets furious and kicks Nikki out, so he ends up homeless.
Okay
And that's why he sings about being homeless.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody play, were there any people over there who played it that was maybe names I would know or theater people should know perhaps?
I don't know,
because I don't know any of the names of the people who are in this soundtrack. So, and I feel bad about that.
So the girl who plays Kate Monster
mm-hmm.
here,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how well you know Scrubs, but there is
a little bit.
There's a musical episode of Scrubs.
Yes,
she plays the lady who hears the
oh
music.
Yes, okay, that I did not know. I don't know.
If you watch the song between Carla and Turk
mm-hmm.
about being Dominican,
mm-hmm.
the songs were all written by Jeff Marks
okay.
in that episode.
Okay.
He's in the pharmacy booth dancing.
Love it.
And Christmas Eve, she's in something right now, and I've entirely forgotten what it is.
Okay.
UK-wise, names, I don't think you'd know them, but have you okay. ever watched The Amazing World of Gumball?
No.
Which is an amazing
No, you brought it
show.
Up last time,
Did
and I feel bad
oh.
that I haven't watched it
well,
yet.
Well, it's so great. Well, there's a puppet character in that
mm-hmm.
who I'm... The guy who voices that is the guy who did Trekkie Monster.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But not. I don't think there's ever been like enormous names attached
right.
to it in the UK. But they're
you,
all.
You do keep track of some of these people. Though.
I do keep track of some.
Yeah,
of them,
yeah, yeah. Is there a UK soundtrack you can buy and that you have bought?
No, there is not Wait. A UK version. But the lady who played Kate Monster, who's
mm-hmm.
Julie Atherton in the UK, she's stunning, stunning singer. Her voice is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
She has various albums out, but she released her own version of A Fine, Fine Line.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's so good.
In character or just her regular
As
singing
her
voice?
As regular that's... singing voice, but it's not too dissimilar.
Because
from...
it's rough. Like, listening to this, like, you can hear she's got to, like, play character, but also try and belt as best she can.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about that as somewhat of a singer, and I'm like, I couldn't...
Every time she sung it, when I saw it, and she was performing as Kate Monster, it would make me cry. She just
yeah.
nails it every time. And the version, I believe it's on Spotify. Things I've noticed on Spotify is that there's regions and some songs just vanish.
Ah.
So I don't know if it's on Spotify in this country.
Okay.
Definitely on YouTube.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Okay. Damn. That's so good. Jesus. I'm trying, also, there's Life Outside Your Apartment.
Yeah, that was really cute.
That one is cute, and it's like, oh.
I was going to animate that song.
Really?
Initially.
Mm-hmm.
But the concept I had in my head for it was way more advanced than I could do. Mm-hmm. So I ended up not doing that.
Yeah. What do you think animating that video taught you? I mean, how much animation had you done? Like, what was your experience at all?
Well, my whole time in university turned out to be useless.
Yeah.
Okay. All the animation stuff that I had learned in university, it was all the wrong software. No one used it. It was defunct. I mean, the principles of animation I learned, sure. But software-wise, everything I was taught was useless. So when I moved to London, like Princeton, I'm all like, ooh, what am I going to do with my life?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do shit because the software, no one, they didn't even make it anymore.
So bad.
So I had to start again.
Yeah.
But things that the video taught me, just like shot composition, mm-hmm. Pans, and like, you know, how to be expressive in animation, mm-hmm. which, you know, ironically now I've had to drop everything because
mm-hmm.
we're very stoic in Bob's Burgers, uh-huh. and no one really emotes too much.
Right, right.
So everything that I have learned again, I have to like put it on the side a little bit.
This is something that I've been thinking about a ton whenever I see the stuff that you post, because people should follow you on Instagram because you post a ton of great shit.
Thank you.
Especially like, I love that they let you post your iterations of their stuff. Like, there's just so much great stuff that you get to do, like the Pride Month stuff, which, God, fuck, I need to get that shirt.
Two of them have just turned up at my house.
Really? Really?
two more today.
They're so, so good.
Thank you.
But adapting, like, we're talking about adapting it to the UK stage. There's bits and pieces and adapting over the years. You have to adapt. I've never understood being able to adapt to someone else's style.
Okay.
I can do my own style of cartooning. That's all I'll ever be able to do.
Yeah.
So I want to know what that learning curve is like for you, what it does to your brain.
So I can't speak for everyone on the show, sure. of course, but for me, I learned to draw by drawing The Simpsons. Like, okay.
Yep.
All that. I did mm-hmm. when I was learning to draw as a kid was Homer, Bart, Lisa.
Just over and over again. Sure.
And that kind of influenced my own style of mm-hmm. art outside of, you know, the TV shows. So when I started doing Bob's is not too dissimilar. It has its own sure. rules, of course.
Sure.
But like ultimately, like when those three quarters, they've got that massive flap yep. mouth thing mm-hmm. and like their eyes aren't round. But it's kind of in the same vein.
Mm-hmm.
So you just learn
mm-hmm.
how to do it and you adapt. It's because we're not, well, me personally anyway, when I'm drawing all this stuff, we're not drawing a fresh face every time. Mm-hmm. We have a stock library that we use,
sure, yeah.
and we drag in because we've got to save time. We've got so much to pump yeah. out and make. And then just using those and drawing them so often, you just slip into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just get it. It's probably a really terrible explanation.
It's not.
How I do, I think,
no,
I think
it's not, because if that's how it is, it's not terrible.
Yeah, I just I do it subconsciously, I think. But mm-hmm. learning to draw The Simpsons, that's like learning that way,
yeah.
I was already in the mindset of Fox cartoons, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before I even realized.
Does it change your personal art style at all?
Like, yes, completely. Yeah? Like, it has mine anyway. Like, if I'm drawing anything at home now, I realize, oh, that looks like a Bob's character. And I didn't realize.
Holy
so,
shit.
Like, a lot of the stuff I end up posting on my Instagram is just something that has started out as something entirely different, but then it ended up being a Bob's thing.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's going to be in your blood for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a year and a half. My visa is for 3 years, and so mm-hmm. that ends next October. But all being well, they're going to do my green card, and then I will never, ever leave.
Oh, that'd be amazing. fuck, that's so good.
Yes.
A year and a half.
I know.
That's great.
It's flown by. Mm-hmm. Flown by. I can't believe how yeah, it just feels like 2 minutes ago I was landing here. And
mm-hmm.
don't know. Now I'm here.
What's I want to dig into, I'm sorry, we're gonna have to, because I love Bob's.
It's my sure do it.
So what's your favorite sequence that you've had to, because the thing is, like, when you posted, one of the first things you posted online was like, hey, look at this fucking shit that I did with this dress, fucking blanket.
Yes,
god,
oh my god,
damn it, that was so, and I'm like that
the
really
blanket.
Is that's a lot of, yes, right, the blanket turning into a dress, right?
Yeah.
For the Christmas episode.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was my first shot,
blew my mind, right? And so, like, do you have a new favorite?
I do.
Okay.
So there's two things, and they're both musical.
Mm-hmm.
First one is the season finale of season 8.
Mm-hmm.
Production code wise, we're a number behind, so uh-huh. I always get confused.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But season 8's finale, something old, something new, something borrowed. No. What the fuck is the episode called? something old, something new, something Bob caters for you. It's the wedding episode where they go and cater a wedding. We added in, there's a song in that episode called Wedding Is My War Zone. People write it online as being called I Do. It's fine. We don't actually release the song titles, I suppose, but it's called Wedding Is My War Zone. And it's Bob singing about his how he's going to save this wedding because of his food.
Yeah.
And it's a really wonderful song. It's a beautiful song. That was added in, similarly to Bad Stuff Happens in the Bathroom, right at the end. And it was the first real proper sequence that I got to storyboard. I was under Brian Lociavo, who was the retakes director at the time, who is fucking amazing at his job. I've learned everything that I'm doing so far from him, and he's just absolutely incredible. But that was the first thing I kind of really storyboarded with him, and I was just so proud with how it turned out, and the song is great, and it looked really cool, and everyone really liked it. So that was like my first one, but the most recent one is it's in the episode Roman Bobaday, which is in season 9.
Yeah.
And it's where Bob has a burnout. And he's Linda forces him to take the day off, and he goes on a little adventure around town. He meets up with Mr. Fish Odor. And whilst they're just going around the town on Fish Odor's little buggy, Fish Odor sings a song to Bob about how his favorite thing in the world to do is absolutely nothing. And that whole sequence was redone. Initially, it was very the visuals were him just driving around the town, singing and talking, and just going around the town.
Yeah.
But they wanted it to be a bit more fantastical than that, so I re storyboarded the whole thing. And at this point, there was no Brian above me, so it was like I was doing it, just me. I mean, there were people I had to show it to, of course. Just like, this is it now. But, you know, they ended up going on a tropical beach, and then the next minute they're in a forest, and then they are going up into the sky in hot air balloons, and then they're on the water. And it was just really fantastical, and the song was really fun and great. And I was really proud when that aired, because a lot of it... because I directed that whole little sequence, you know? And I was just very proud that I'd gone from... Well, what I was doing a year and a half ago was having a song that I had directed air on TV, and that blew my mind.
So better than two frogs dancing around to a song?
Like, barely, you know? Barely. But that's for sure. And lots of the credit sequences as well, because I get to do a lot of... animators often take them and just run with an idea that are entirely their own, but sometimes I get to storyboard the credit sequences.
I love those really so much.
There's a one for a puppet episode that we did recently called If You Love It So Much, Why Don't You Marionette? Which is a great episode. It's a really cute episode, but the credit sequence and that was all...
I think I realized that was the title. God damn it. That's so good.
I love our titles.
It's a very good episode. I mean, there's no bad episodes of that show.
No.
Really? Early on, you know what? Early on, Bob's so angry and mean that I'm like, oh, that's not what the show is. And then I'm like, okay, it settles in a few episodes. Bob's so much angrier, but I still love them.
I don't think there's any that I dislike either. I sound biased if I guess I keep saying it now, but
it's fine. It's absolutely fine. I also love that the show is really queer. Like, I love that there's so much of that on Fox of all places.
I know.
Like that. And well, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is not there anymore, but I'm just saying two super queer shows were on Fox for a while.
That's what I love about it too. It's this world that they've created where homophobia, racism, it doesn't exist. Like,
right.
They just don't. People are who they are, and people accept everyone for who they are, no matter what. And
I
it's,
love it so much.
We've got drag queens, and we've got the first episode, the Christmas episode that I worked on, which was The Bleakening. They end up in a gay rave at the end, and it's fucking insane. I don't think that had aired last time I was here, maybe.
No. We were just talking about the shit you were like kind of about to work on, kind of. Yeah.
So, and they end up at this gay rave, and not once is Linda or Bob ever like, oh my god, kids. Like, you know, they're just like, everyone's cool and accepting, and it's great.
Yep.
And I love that world that they live in.
Ah. Todrick's in that episode.
Todrick, he is in that episode, yes. He plays Triple Xmas.
Voice is ridiculous.
Yeah,
his voice is insane.
So good.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, he's a powerhouse talent.
I forgot my next question. What is wrong with me today? Because we're just talking about my favorite show. Oh, no, good, that's why. Because I needed to go back to Avenue Q before people get pissed at me.
Okay.
is there... What songs have, like, not just aged the best, but, like, meant, like, 10 times more to you as you've gotten older? Are there any that are like, oh, fuck,
Let me just look at the track list again.
No, that's absolutely fine. Because there's so much on here that you could pick from. And, like, there's some stuff, like I say, like, much as I might be uncomfortable with that one song, and I don't hate it or anything... There's some other stuff where I'm like, oh, no, this ages very well. Like, If You Were Gay still is very positive and sweet to me.
For sure. Fantasies Come True is a wonderful one as well.
Uh-huh. Oh, right. I heard that, like, for the first time today. Maybe not the first time today, but it was not on my old playlist.
Fantasies Come True is a very story-driven one. It's not a funny one. It's not,
right.
It's not hilarious by any means, but...
Again, which is Nikki's just... dreaming, right?
Rod is dreaming that Nikki is gay ending to him, but then also is going parallel with Princeton and Kate Monster's love story as well.
Mm-hmm.
Purpose, I think, is one that's still very relevant now, which is, you know, what's someone's purpose? You have to find it. You don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And you go down a million avenues.
Woo!
Avenue Q. and then... sometimes you might just not know, you know. Mm-hmm. That one's aged, but I think the whole show as a whole is kind of timeless.
They just
encapsulated growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Not from teenage years, but I guess from just like becoming an actual adult.
Yeah
And that it's not easy really for everyone, and it's you've got to work, and I just fucking love that show.
Well, there's
so
still a few like that. Again, they're all perennially fun, but some of them are genuine. The Purpose one, at least for me, like to speak from, like, the second something changes, I'm going to be questioning everything because of the kind of person I am. Uh-huh. So that is a song that can resonate continually. Like, well, maybe my purpose just changed. You know? And then you're like, do I need an overarching... Fuck me with this microphone! Do I need an overarching purpose is the question. Like, is that a thing? I'm not put here for a reason, but like finding that reason is like so important and hard.
But then the last song, they just say, you know, not everyone finds their purpose, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
No, that's a positive thing. Not everybody can go from frogs to...
To Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
But, you know,
that's not bad. That's not bad at all. At some point, are we going to be able to see your frogs worked into... somewhere, like some representation of your frogs.
Oh god. Hope not.
No, come on.
I'll try.
Okay. I'm not saying you have to.
I'll see if I can. If I can in any way. I'm trying to think how I can do it, cuz I don't
without shoehorning it.
Yeah, I don't design the background.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's hard
of course
for me to be like, put that there. You
know? But first, watch this video. I can't be in the room while you watch it, but watch this video.
I am hidden in an episode.
That was my next question.
Was it?
Yay!
I don't have a character model yet.
Okay.
I keep pushing. They were going to try and put me in the London episode that aired this year.
Oh, that's good.
But it didn't end up happening. Mm-hmm. But I believe it is the fifth episode.
Okay.
Of season 10. I'm hidden in there somewhere.
All right, I'm going to be looking. I will probably be frame by framing this shit, because my friend of the show Brian Hall used to work on that show, and he would post like, hey look, they put me here, hey look. I'm like, you motherfuck. I was just so jealous. And but now I just get extra excited about it. He also posted a picture of himself with the house that inspired the Bob's Burgers house,
which in San Francisco.
Shit, like that's like almost one for one. Like, it is. It's so close.
Well, I believe Lauren lived there.
Okay, makes sense.
And the layout of the upstairs is the same.
Really?
I've obviously never been in there.
But that
picture, when background artists start on the show, that picture's a reference image they're given.
That's amazing.
Of that place.
Yeah, I love it.
Last time I was in San Francisco, I meant to go and find it, and
he didn't do it. Oh, man. Next time.
Next time.
It's a great city. There's too much to see in San Francisco.
Too much.
There's way too much to see.
I love it.
Yeah.
No, the wonderful thing.
Damn it. I can't wait to see you in the background. I'm very excited.
Maybe I'm in the foreground.
Ooh.
Maybe.
All right.
You'll just see. And you'll be like, oh, actually, I have not seen the background colored.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if they may have made it blonde. I don't
know. Well, they could change whatever. I know shit happens.
We'll see.
So, okay. All right, I know that we've already gone over your favorites. We've gone over the one, but you love this thing way too much.
It means an awful lot to me, this show.
Fair. Like, I mean, you talk to people. I don't often get to talk to people who. It's weird. I'm going to be talking to somebody soon about a movie that most people hate, but I happen to love. And there are these. It's not the same as Avenue Q because a lot of people love it, but the thing that we're going to talk about is a movie entitled Grease 2.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Which is also has its own queer following, but for different reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember I interviewed some people about it because I grew up loving it. I went through several stages. As a kid, my favorite movie of all time. Got a little older, I'm like, come on, it's funny because it's bad. Yeah. And then I got a little older, and I'm like,
you just like it now.
I think I just like it. And then I interviewed some people, and one guy told this beautiful story, and he came out because of Grease 2.
Aww.
And I mean, how do you hate a thing anymore that, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's one of these things I don't know, it's going to be fun to talk about.
I'm sure.
I don't know where I was going with that. I'm just excited to talk about it. I like talking about musicals. We don't talk about musicals enough on here. Well, since you haven't picked you can't pick a total favorite song. No, you don't have to. Maybe I will pick one.
Okay, you pick one.
Because we don't normally do that. Fuck, well now I don't know what to pick though. Because If You Were Gay is maybe one of the funnier ones that also remains sweet. It's not Arch to me. It could be.
Yes, it's a not. Very standalone one.
And also the gentleman who does the sort of Ernie-ish voice is not bad. None of them, they're all very good like puppet, like Muppet equivalents too. That's yes. Another very good thing.
Yes,
like,
all of them.
Those are complicated voices sometimes to like, you know.
I don't know how anyone can do like Trekkie Monster's voice.
No, I can't do it. I can do the Kermit voice just fine, but I can't do any of the other voices. Jesus, but you're right about there's a fine line. That's just a sad, tight thing. I think Mixtape is my personal favorite.
Mixtape.
It's just because I've had those relationships. Listen to that song with people while in that said relationship.
Yeah.
It's like, this is us, right? yeah, we're both a pair of Muppets. Yeah, yeah. Sure, why not?
Oh, I love it. I just think the whole show, it's coming off Broadway, mm-hmm. I believe now. Not mm-hmm. It was off Broadway for a while, but it's actually ending now.
Oh wow! Okay.
And it may already have very recently just ended, but there's generally small productions of it all over the place.
You're making me want to see it now.
I guess the last one I saw to. The first one I saw here was awful production,
really?
And I actually left halfway through.
Wow!
That was because I was in a room full of people who were all at least 100 years old.
Oh,
it
no.
was like an old people's day out to see the show.
Shit.
Not one of them laughed once. And I was sitting right in the middle. And I just,
Jesus Christ.
And no one was laughing. And like they're seeing everyone's a little bit racist. And I can just see none of them are enjoying it. Mm-hmm. I left halfway through. I couldn't sit through
the second half. Kills the energy. No. Okay.
But the other one I saw was just over in North Hollywood and the Cupcake Theatre. And it was fantastic.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All
really
right. I'm going
production.
To have to keep my eye out and now go see it.
It's always around.
All right, you've convinced me.
Good.
I mean, it is one of those shows that where, like, if I started like stage acting full time, I would fucking love to do that.
Because
I
be such a fun
always
one.
Wanted to be a puppeteer.
It just looks like an absolute blast.
Yeah. Have you ever tried puppeteering?
Yourself? Yes,
you have.
Yes, I have. Yeah, yeah.
You're good at it.
I mean, no.
No.
I made my own puppet. I just wanted to see if I could,
mm-hmm.
and then I made two, mm-hmm. and The one thing I learned when I was watching videos online on how to actually do it is when you go to do a puppet, you instinctively hold your hand,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm holding it like as if a Muppet is in front of me right now, which is my hand forwards. And when you go to open your mouth, you open your fingers and your thumb together
mm-hmm.
Equally.
Right.
But that's not how you do it.
Right.
You just move your thumb.
Right.
And that hurts
mm-hmm.
because you're not used to those muscles.
No.
Because otherwise, the literal, like the top of their head flaps back and forth as mm-hmm. they're talking, and that's not how people talk.
No.
So that was the hardest thing. And then I was doing that. I was like, oh, I can't do this. So I gave up.
I want to ask you a question, but then I feel like you can't answer it except for off mic.
Try.
Would they ever do a puppet episode? An actual puppety muppety episode?
I don't think so.
Burgers? No.
I don't think so. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like something they would necessarily do. I would be fine to watch it.
I think we like the universe to be entirely animated.
Fair.
The only time that we ever deviated from that was the fan art episode.
That was so great.
But I don't think that there'll ever be a puppet one. I can't say never. I don't know.
Sure. No, but you have a perspective on it.
I do. I would guess no.
Okay. Fair.
But who knows?
That's okay. You know, I sometimes ask questions that go nowhere. It's okay.
Yeah.
You're fully aware. You've seen me do this. Okay, this is not going to come out for... oh, no, sorry. You can promote stuff in a minute. Tell people why to listen to this. You already have, but just give them a quick why listen to this if you've never heard it before.
Because everyone, I think, in the world can find at least one song on this album and relate to it. Mm-hmm. Be it about relationships, work, life in general, paying taxes,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
dying,
sure, sex,
there's
a
sex,
bunch of sex in that one time.
Being gay, closeted, mm-hmm, having a tough time in relationships. Like, there is just something for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to dismiss it because it's puppets doing silly things.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's very real. Mm-hmm. A lot of the songs are very real, and I think anyone can pick it up and enjoy some of it.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's good. And I do like when there's... This was a period of time where this could have been... It was just post 9/11, so it could have been so, like, so angry. And there's still a lot of heart and love in it.
So much.
Yeah, that's pretty beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to come out for several weeks.
Okay.
But do you have anything you want to promote? Where can people find you?
Promotion stuff-wise, watch Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
Season 10 starts in September. Right. I don't know what date.
Sure.
But it will be September at some point. And... You can follow me on Instagram, which is chonkster62, mm-hmm, chonkster62.
Mm-hmm.
Same on Twitter. And I post a lot of silly things from, yes, Bob's.
Yeah.
My own dumb artwork.
Right. But we can buy your artwork, though, on stuff.
Oh, yes. If you go to Toddland, toddland.com, mm-hmm, that's the official store where Bob's merchandise, like clothing, is made.
Mm-hmm.
They have a whole Pride line right now, which that's was great, from an image that I drew. And it's really sweet. And you can buy little enamel pins as well and hats.
Yeah, those are great. Oh, so good.
Yeah, they've all just arrived at my house and I love them.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm going to wear my own drawing.
I'm glad
care.
They give you that stuff, though, because there are some places.
Oh, I bought
stingy.
It.
Oh, you
no,
did?
No, I,
okay.
I bought it.
Okay.
I, particularly this time around, because also if you buy any of the Pride line right now, 50% of it goes to the Trevor Foundation, which is an LGBTQ organization here in LA.
Wonderful.
And so I'm buying it.
That's
I want.
That's
I wanted
fine.
To.
That's
I wanted
good.
To help towards that cause.
All right. Good. That's
yeah.
wonderful.
Mm.
I've got very little to promote. Just follow me on Instagram, Jason Klamm, JasonKlamm. Hashtag the professional blur. That's me doing my extra work. And actually, it'll probably be out by the time this comes out. But July 16th, you may or really may not see me on an episode of Drunk History coming up. I was an extra, but I'm just right there next to the star for most of it, so I think you're gonna see me. I know, this is like when you say, Mom, guess what I just got this big thing, and then like you're nowhere in it. So I'm just trying to just hedge, just like, hey guys, just don't, you're not gonna get excited anyway, but if you happen to go look for it, maybe you'll see me. I might be right there.
I cross my fingers for you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I don't want to have any lines, so to speak, but you know what I'm saying.
So you're there.
I rob a place. I will just say that I help rob a place.
That's
all I can say.
Drama.
Yeah, it's great. Well, Simon, you're a delight.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for doing the show.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you guys for listening. And as always, you're gonna come back.
Yeah.
We're gonna figure something out.
Yeah.
And as always, have a good thing. Comedy on Vinyl is a production of Stolen Dress Entertainment. It is produced by Mike Warden and is hosted and edited by Jason Klamm. Our theme song was composed and performed by Richard Levinson. You can email us at podcast@comedyonvinyl.com. You can also send snail mail to Stolen Dress Entertainment, P.O. Box 805, Burbank, California, 91503. Subscribe to Comedy on Vinyl on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you can find podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and write us a review. It helps. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Comedy on Vinyl, or find everything in one place at comedyonvinyl.com. A major portion of Comedy on Vinyl has been underwritten by Stand Up Records. Please visit standuprecords.com for all your comedy needs, and tune in to the new Stand Up Records channel available on the Roku, where you can also find select episodes of this podcast. Visit stolendress.com to listen to our other podcasts, watch videos, and imbibe freely of our multimedia content going back 15-plus years.